The title of the message today is Trusting Jesus, My Shepherd. And we'll be looking at Psalm 23. How many of you, this is your favorite passage? Anybody got a favorite passage here? Yes, there's a few. It is a very good passage to have as a favorite for sure. The idea of Jesus as a loving shepherd is one of the most comforting concepts in the Bible. It is good to trust Jesus as shepherd. But before we can begin to trust Jesus as shepherd, we must first make Jesus our Lord. And we talked about that last week. The Lordship of Jesus is an overarching theme of the Bible. And last Sunday we investigated this and we learned that while Jesus is Lord of all, God, in His love and kindness to us, and in His nature, says, I'm going to allow you to make a choice. He made us creatures with choice. And so He gave us a choice whether we should make Jesus my Lord or not. My choice, whether I choose to accept Christ as Lord or not, it does not diminish Jesus in any way, except in what He can do for me. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Is He your Lord? There's only one true Lord, Jesus Christ, and so I'm going to ask you the same question I asked last week, and make sure, because it's important before you talk about Jesus being your shepherd. You can't go to Jesus the shepherd until you've met Jesus the Lord. So is Jesus your Lord? The Lordship of Jesus is an undeniable fact in Scripture. It's a central truth. And you, once you get this, the Lordship of Jesus, you'll more easily grasp all the important truths of the Bible. 1 Corinthians says, there's one God, the Father, by whom all things were created and for whom we live, and there is one Lord. Everybody say one Lord. Jesus Christ, through whom all things were created and through whom we live. Jesus is Creator. He is God. He is Lord. He is Creator. He's the one and only Lord. And just to kind of catch you up in case you weren't here last week, a Lord is a master or owner or one having power and authority. And Jesus is all those things and so much more. So if you missed the message last week, go to BethelWetumpka.org. It's one word, BethelWetumpka.org. And click on media and you can go straight to and hear that message and catch yourself up. Our truth for today rests upon this foundation of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the personal Lordship of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, then He will also be your shepherd. If you make Him your Lord, then you can trust Him as shepherd. This aspect of His nature is one that God truly wants you to experience. He wants you to have Him as your shepherd. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you made Him your Lord, then Jesus is and the Lord is your shepherd. And you can say that. The Lord is my shepherd. Our text for today, Psalm 23, beautifully defines this aspect of the nature of our Lord. It's a well-known passage. Many believers have committed it to memory. A lot of times if you ask someone who doesn't know anything about church or going to church, what do you know about God? And they'll say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. They just throw it right out there. Because they've been to funerals or whatever, heard it said. They understand. In fact, it's probably the most memorized chapter in all the Bible. And most quoted. And since we hear it most often at funerals, we wrongly tend to associate this passage with death and dying. But it's not about death and dying. It's about life and living life to the fullest, having the fullest life available. So let's look at Psalm 23. Start reading at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. And this is from the New Living Translation. I have all I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me. Your rod and Your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, our great shepherd, I thank you for this powerful, life-changing, life-giving truth in Psalm 23. I pray that not a soul will leave this place without knowing you as Lord and Shepherd of their life. Guide me as I share this message. Guide hearts to receive it, Lord God, and guide us all, because you are truly our Shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 23 is a declaration of both fact and faith. Faith is often something you have to have whether you have the facts or not. But here in Psalm 23, it's a fact. One of the most powerful and uplifting passages of the Word of God tells us a fact, and that is the Lord is your shepherd. If you make him your Lord, you can rest upon that wonderful fact. Henry Ward Beecher said that this passage, Psalm 23, has charmed more griefs to rest than all of the philosophies of the world. It has remanded to their dungeon more felon thoughts, more black doubts, more thieving sorrows than there are sands on the seashore. It has comforted the noble host of the poor. It has sung courage to the army of the disappointed. It has poured balm and consolation into the heart of the sick, of captives in dungeons, of widows in their pinching griefs, of orphans in their loneliness. Dying soldiers have died easier as it was read to them. Ghastly hospitals have been illuminated. It has visited the prisoner and broken his chains, and like Peter's angel, led him forth in imagination and sung him back to his home again. It has made the dying Christian slave freer than his master and consoled those whom, on his dying, he left behind mourning. Not so much that he was gone, but because they were left behind and could not go too. Psalm 23 reminds us of who we are and whose we are. Who do you belong to? Who are you? When the psalmist penned these words, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he spoke from his heart, but he also spoke from his experience. David was a shepherd. He knew what it meant to be a shepherd. He understood that. And as he learned about the nature and character of God, he recognized and related these traits in the role that he served in his family. David recognized a great need in his life, and I hope you get this today. David recognized this need. David needed a shepherd. David needed a shepherd. Have you ever felt that need yourself? Do you wish for a guide? Do you wish you had someone to tell you whether to make that decision or not, to open that door or not, to go to that place or not? Well, I know someone who will do that. I know someone who will be that for you. Do you need someone to lovingly look out for you? You know, as children growing up, we have the comfort of our parents. So no matter what we go or what we do, we always got a parent looking out for us. Anybody in the room ever gone out to so far that your parents couldn't help you? Anybody like that? You got beyond your parents' ability to help? I have many times. Many times. I remember swimming one time when I was way too far out and nobody could help me. And it was a frightening experience. But guess what? I was not alone in that water. God was with me. And he sent the right people to help me get back to where I belonged. And that's what the shepherd does. A shepherd lovingly keeps you where you belong. And so if you need a shepherd, if you need someone to be your loving guide, a personal guide, then this psalm is for you. David Guzik explains, the heart of this psalm doesn't connect with the self-sufficient, but those who acutely sense their need, the poor in spirit Jesus described in the Sermon on the Mount, find great comfort in the idea that God can be a shepherd to them in a personal sense. Jesus wants to be your shepherd. It's one thing to say, I'm thankful for my pastor who has Jesus as his shepherd. I'm thankful that I have a family member, a mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, who follows the Lord, and Jesus is their shepherd. But it's a whole different thing when you say, He is my shepherd. Jesus is my shepherd. So God takes this experience of David and gives us this clear view of His boundless capacity to love and care for His own. God cares for those He loves and serves. He wants you to know that He desires to be personally involved in your life. God did not create you and walk away. He has not left you alone. And as we prayed and gathered and prayed, I'm so thankful for our people who are coming to pray. And on these cold nights, folks are getting out, driving out to the church and coming in. And it's warm in here. Every night but one. One night I forgot to turn on the air, the heat, and it was cold. We were all bundled up in jackets. And about halfway through the prayer, I realized there was a reason why we were all bundled up, because nobody turned on the heat. And it's amazing what a difference just a few minutes make when you turn on the heat in the room. It gets warmer. It's cool. No, it's not cool. It's warm. But it was nice. But I'm thankful for that, because here in prayer, we're experiencing the presence of God. And there's the comfort in knowing that where we gather, God comes as well. God wants to do that. He wants to be a part of our life. So as we look at just the first verse of Psalm 23 and break it down into its component phrases, you can learn about a full life of faith and what it means to have Jesus as your shepherd. The first part is, number one, the Lord is. The Lord is. The Lord is. Which means Jesus is the best. Jesus is uniquely qualified to shepherd your life. He's the only one to ever live without sin. He conquered sin. You have failed when it comes to sin. I have failed when it comes to sin. We all have, but He didn't. So we need someone better than we are to guide us and direct us so that we don't sin. And the Lord can do just that. He's very good at it. And He will do just that. I want you to notice the word Lord. It's all caps. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It comes in the Bible like that because it is a reminder that this is talking about God, Yahweh or Jehovah. It's literally saying, this is God. This is not just a Lord. This is the Lord God Himself. It's the name of God who spoke to Moses when He declared, I am the eternal God. So tell them that the Lord, whose name is I Am, has sent you. That is my name forever. God wants you to know that He is the Lord I Am. Somebody needs to hear that today. Jesus is your Lord I Am. And whatever your problem is, the answer is Jesus. And when you say, what's the answer to my problem? Jesus says, I Am. I Am. In every situation, He is Lord and He's eternally existent. He's the same. Always the same. He never changes. He's completely dependable. He's always available. He's fully qualified. He's totally capable and properly guides us when we allow Him to do that. David was a shepherd who was able to defeat a lion and a bear. He was a good shepherd. These things are celebrated because they demonstrate His commitment to His flock. Pastors are shepherds of churches, and pastors should be committed to their flock. And I want to be that for you. I want to be a good shepherd for you. But I understand something. I'm an under-shepherd. And I have a shepherd. And you have a shepherd. And His name is Jesus Christ. And He can go where I cannot go. And He can do what I cannot do. And He can solve what I cannot solve. No matter what your problem, if you're having a health issue today, I may not be able to fix you. The local doctors may not be able to fix you. In fact, some of the hospitals are saying, don't come. We're full up. Stay home, drink lots of fluids, get rest. We don't want to see you. So even doctors today can't help some of the sicknesses around. But I know someone who can. Jesus is I Am. If you're sick, talk to I Am. He can heal you. If your problem is financial, talk to the I Am. He can answer when nobody else can. If your problem is legal, hear me. If you got a legal problem, I know the one who wrote the law. I know the one who knows the law, and I know the one who gives favor, and you can walk in favor. We've been praying that right here in these altars for people to have favor upon you. So if you're part of this church and you find out that you're walking in favor, I want you to know something. It's because God loves you and God cares about you and His favor is on you. So all the others' favor is going to be on you too. Wherever you go, favor of God will be upon you because you got a great shepherd. Jesus is a much better shepherd than David could ever hope to be or I could ever hope to be. In fact, Hebrews says He's the great shepherd. There's no one that compares to Him. He's already defeated every adversary you will ever face. I should leave there. That's a good place to end, isn't it? He's already done it. He's already paid the price. He's already solved the problem. I have literally prayed, asked God for a miracle, financial miracle, and then Joyce goes to the mailbox and comes in with a letter with a reimbursement from an insurance company. We didn't even know we were supposed to be reimbursed. And it was the amount that I was asking God to provide. And the check was signed 3 weeks earlier. The God I was praying to in that moment heard me 3 weeks earlier and said, y'all got to send that boy his money. So that it would show up at the moment that I'm praying. What a God He is. What a shepherd He is. And He's no respecter of persons. If you claim Him as Lord, He claims to be your shepherd. Amen. He's not going to do for me what He doesn't do for you. He's already done, and He can do whatever necessary to take care of His flock. You can rely on the Lord. There's no one better qualified than Jesus. And that's exactly who you want to be, your shepherd. That's why everyone should do as David did. You want to get to know the Lord and proclaim, He is my shepherd. Everybody say, my shepherd. Jesus truly cares for me. God shepherds me. Do you realize what this means? The Creator of the universe loves me so much that He dedicates Himself to my circumstance. God chooses to be my shepherd when I choose Him as my Lord. Wow. When I make a choice, God says, I made a choice too. And that is, I'm going to come alongside you. I'm going to be your shepherd. I'm going to be a guide for you. J.M. Boyce offers an explanation of this. He said, in Israel, as in other ancient societies, a shepherd's work was considered the lowest of all works. If a family needed a shepherd, it was always the youngest son, like David, who got the unpleasant assignment. Jehovah has chosen to be our shepherd. The great God of the universe has stooped to take such care of you and me. What an awesome God He is. David needed a shepherd. You need a shepherd too. I need a shepherd. We do. Sheep are too dumb to care for themselves. We're no different when it comes to spiritual things. I'm going to let that sink in a minute. Sheep are too dumb to care for themselves. We're no different. Look at your neighbor and ask him, did he just call us dumb? And then kind of nod like, I think he did. Because when it comes to spiritual things, there are no masters in this room. There are no spiritual masters in this room. There are people in their 90s in this room. And I can tell you what they would say. They're not a master of spiritual things. They know who their God is. They know who they trust. They know how good He's been over a lifetime of blessing and provision. But they'll be the first to tell you, I'm no master of spiritual things. None of us are. And God has given us wisdom. There's no doubt about it. And as we get older, we should get more. And you think with Google, we'd all be so wise. But all the knowledge in the world doesn't seem to help. Having the knowledge of the world at our fingertips doesn't seem to make us wiser. It seems to make us less wise, doesn't it? Because really, even though God is always there, always willing to guide us and help us along the right way, we're humans, and humans have tendencies. And one of those tendencies is we want our way. Am I right? My way. I know none of you have ever said this, but I have. My way or the highway. Sadly, sometimes God has to take the highway. His ways are always higher than mine. Forget the right way. Forget the common sense way. Forget the best way. Forget God's way. We just want to do things our way. I've been amazed by people when they die at their funeral. They have somebody sing that song, "I Did It My Way." No, you don't want to end your life with that. Okay, maybe one day you can do that as a teenager or a child. But you really want to end your life with, "I did it His way." That's what you want to tell the world around you. I couldn't have done this thing. I couldn't have lived this life without God and following His way. But according to the Bible, that's precisely our problem. Isaiah says, all of us like sheep have strayed away. We've left God's paths to follow our own. We do this knowing full well that we cannot shepherd ourselves. We know this. Being your own shepherd is like trying to borrow yourself out of debt. Both activities leave you completely destitute. If you don't believe me, just try it. Try to borrow yourself out of debt. It gets you. So try to be your own shepherd. It'll get you in the same kind of trouble. God provides a much better solution, a better way. He said, "I'll be your shepherd." Max Lucado explains this so beautifully. He said, when God is your shepherd, you recognize that you cannot shepherd yourself. That's an important fact about having God as your shepherd, is you got to come to an understanding. You can't do this on your own. You cannot. You need Him. Jesus is the shepherd you need. Look at somebody and tell them that. Jesus is the shepherd you need. He absolutely is. There's no more comforting thought than the thought of Christ as my personal Savior. Charles Spurgeon said, the sweetest word of this whole statement is the monosyllable, "my." He does not say that the Lord is a shepherd of the world at large and leads a multitude of His flock, but the Lord is my shepherd. If He be a shepherd to no one else, He's a shepherd to me. He cares for me, watches over me, and preserves me. Jesus Himself declared, "I am the good shepherd." He is good, and He's good at shepherding. And so as we come under His guidance and love, then we can submit to His care and join David in boldly declaring, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." Would you say that together with me? The Lord is my shepherd. He is, if you make Him your Lord. Peter said, once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you turn to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. I'm going to ask a question. I need your help. Is there anyone in the room who senses a need in your life for someone to stand guard over you because somebody's coming against you, somebody's attacking you, and you need a guard over you? Raise your hand. You feel like you need a guard. Yeah, look. Yeah, yeah. More and more today, we feel that way. Even churches feel the need to have a guard, you know. You can't go to Walmart without seeing there's a guard down there. Somebody's on duty watching out. But here's the beautiful thing about that. If you sense your need for a guard, God does too. He's your shepherd. And He will guard you and watch out for you. He's the guardian of your soul. So no matter how far away you've wandered from God, Jesus is ready to be your good shepherd because He truly cares for you. All you have to do is turn to Him. All you have to do is choose Him as your Lord, so He can choose to be your shepherd. When we find ourselves in the care of the one who never changes, the only good shepherd, then we discover what it means to say, "I have all I need," when I walk with Jesus. I have all I need when I walk with Jesus. As I'm following the shepherd, He'll take care of every need. The King James Version uses the word "want." Another version uses the phrase, "I shall lack nothing." I like how the Contemporary English Version says, it says, "I shall never be in need." I shall never be in need. When you have Jesus as your shepherd, you can literally make that statement, and it will always be true. I shall never be in need. Need's such a much better word, I think, than want. We don't understand King James English. That's why I don't preach the King James Bible. I know that hurts somebody's feeling. Lord, if it's good enough for Paul and Silas, it's good enough for us, isn't it? But we got to understand. I want to communicate to you in a language you understand. I don't want to leave out the old stuff. I want you to hear that too. It's beautiful language, but I want you to understand it. So what does it mean to never be in need again? That's a strong statement. For me to tell you that today, that you will never be in need again if Jesus is your shepherd. How could anyone say that? Well, when we listen, when we follow, when we trust, when we obey, when we behave as His sheep should behave, we will have no need. It's only when we don't listen, when we don't follow, when we don't trust, when we don't obey, when we don't behave as we should, that we find ourselves in need. We should walk with Jesus. When the Lord is your shepherd, you act accordingly. He always guides correctly. He always does the right thing. He always leads along the best paths. He always supplies exactly what we need. When Jesus is our shepherd and we follow Him as we should, we can always say, I shall never be in need. A lady by the name of Mrs. J.R. Mott wrote a poem many years ago. She used the King James Version, so I'm going to use it too. And her poem is entitled, I Shall Not Want. So every time you hear the word want, I want you to think need. She said, I shall not want rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I shall not want or need refreshment. He leadeth me beside still waters. I shall not want forgiveness or need it, because He restoreth my soul. I shall not want guidance. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I shall not want companionship. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. I shall not want comfort. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. I shall not want food. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I shall not want joy. Thou anointest my head with oil. I shall not want anything. My cup runneth over. I shall not want anything in this life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall not want anything in eternity. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I shall not want. I shall not need. Ever. I'll never be in need, because my every need is met in Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for choosing to be my shepherd. Todd Beamer was one of the heroes who gave his life for his country, for his fellow countrymen, on the hijacked United Flight 93 that crashed into a field near Shanksville, Pennsylvania on 9/11. On his cell phone call to the emergency services, Todd recited the 23rd Psalm together with the operator, Lisa Jefferson. This psalm gave him comfort. Then they prayed the Lord's Prayer together, and Todd spoke his final recorded words. God help me. Jesus help me. Are you ready? Let's roll. Now, a lot of times when someone in this country quotes Todd Beamer, the only thing you hear him quoted as saying is, let's roll. But don't forget, God help me. Jesus help me. Are you ready? Let's roll. You want to be ready for God to help you. And although Todd Beamer and every other person on that flight died that day, and they all died heroes, because they most likely saved a lot of lives themselves, God did help him. I have no doubt about that. The good shepherd, Todd Beamer's good shepherd, his personal shepherd, was there to escort him and every believer on that flight through the valley of the shadow of death right into His presence for eternity. Praise God. Death is only a shadow for the sheep of God's flock. And you don't have to be afraid of a shadow. We need not fear shadows at all. Spurgeon says, for a shadow cannot stop a man's pathway, even for a moment. The shadow of a dog cannot bite. The shadow of a sword cannot kill. And the shadow of death cannot destroy us. The Lord will lead us through. He will. If you feel the shadow of death looming large over you, hear me today. Jesus is with you and He will lead you through. Praise God for a shepherd who does that. Anybody in this room been near death before in your life? Wow. I remember my mother-in-law just a few weeks ago. She was telling us, this is it. She told me, she said, Grady, just take me home. I don't want to die in the hospital. I want to die in my bed. Just one more night in my bed and I'll go on to be with Jesus. Let's go home. I said, Mom, you got to stay here. They got to help you. They got to get medicines in you. But she said, it's okay. I'm ready. I can go. I'm ready. She knew who her shepherd was. She knew who she could look out to. And for every person who's been near the point of death, every person who's had to face the reality of death, you got to understand it too. You didn't make it through that without God. I promise you. You heard that? All them amens are all the people that have faced death before. They know it. They understand it. Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. That's what Jesus said. The shepherd, the good shepherd, my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? Say my shepherd. If he's your shepherd, then you can say that too. No one can snatch me away from him. Charles Spurgeon said also, before a man can truly say the Lord is my shepherd, he must first feel himself to be a sheep by nature, for he cannot know that God is a shepherd until he feels himself that he is a sheep by nature. We got to understand who we are, what our nature is. We must see ourselves as sheep. We must see ourselves as foolish and stubborn and independent and prone to wander our own way. That's an important understanding every person on earth must come to. If you're going to come to Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your shepherd, then you must understand that you're a sheep who needs that. You need His guidance. And most of the time we come to God when we realize we've messed up. When we've tried to become a shepherd instead of understanding we were the sheep. When we made our own decisions instead of looking to the shepherd to help us out. See, we got to walk with Jesus. He's the great shepherd. He can help us. We got a sense that we have a great need for Him. So the final question for today is Jesus your shepherd? Hear the voice of the great shepherd today. He is tenderly calling for you to follow His guidance. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. I've seen, you can look it on YouTube yourself, where there are videos of shepherds. It's a wonderful thing to see. It's an amazing thing to see. Where there'll be a 1,000 or 10,000 sheep on a hillside. And one young man will get up there with his staff and he'll go, hey. And 40 or 50 of those sheep will begin to separate themselves out of that flock and they'll come down. And he doesn't have to say, hey, you, get over here. He just starts walking. And as he starts walking, those sheep will come out of that large crowd and they'll begin to follow their shepherd. It's an amazing thing to see. Sheep know their shepherd's voice. And they follow their shepherd because he leads them to the good water. He leads them to the good grass. He leads them to places of safety. He looks out for them, so they follow him. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. So no matter where you are on the hillside, he's calling. He's calling you. There's a point in time in Jacob's life when the shadow of death was looming large over him. He'd been handed down a heritage from Abraham, his grandfather, and Isaac, his father, and now to him, Jacob, and now Israel. And he knew his days were short. And this man who had wrestled with God and took everything he could, all of his life, it was about him struggling to get more on his own. In his later days, he began to bless everybody. Even when he was begging for bread from Pharaoh because of the famine. When he came before Pharaoh, read it for yourself in Genesis, it said, Jacob blessed Pharaoh. He spoke a blessing. There's another passage that says, the one who blesses is greater than the one who is blessed. So speak a blessing over someone. And that's what he did. And he declared he wanted to bring his sons, because he knew they would be the ones who would create the tribes, who would create the nation that God would lead. So he called them together. But when it came to Joseph, he called his two sons. He basically adopted them as his own and made them a tribe himself. And so Jacob declared in Genesis 48 a blessing over these boys. He said, may God, the God before whom my grandfather Abraham and my father Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this very day. Now, if you follow Jacob's life, remember, he was out for himself. He was a struggler. He was the one who fought. But here, he has come to a realization that this God has been his shepherd all his life, even to this day he's speaking. He said, the angel, capital A, talking about God, who has redeemed me from all harm, may he bless these boys. Let me tell you something. He was invoking the shepherd. He was passing on the mantle of the great shepherd that had guided his life and looked out for him to do the same thing. The one who'd wrestled with God for blessing had become the one to give the blessing. The one who'd struggled in his life had come to a place where he knew he didn't have to struggle anymore because somebody was looking out for him. Somebody was leading him. And even if it meant to go through death, he knew that his shepherd would guide him even beyond where death was. They had a heritage of faith to stand on, these boys did. They had a heritage of blessing. They had a heritage of God's provision. See, God blessed this family for generations, and you can look and see that God is continuing to bless Jacob's family today. He looks out for them. He cares for them. And every born-again believer in Jesus Christ is a member of Jacob's family. You're grafted in. You're part of the family of God, the chosen one. The ones that Jesus said, I choose to be your shepherd. Just like he chose to be Jacob's shepherd, he is choosing to be your shepherd as well. If you choose Jesus as your shepherd, you could literally impact generations for the Lord. You could change your family's destiny. You could do that. You can make a difference. You have a godly heritage in your life. God has given you a heritage. A godly heritage. How do I know that? Because he does that with everyone he loves. And God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. So trust him as your shepherd. Call him your Lord. And declare that. Do what David did and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not.